Hello and welcome to another Movie Roast. I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. I'm here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. And we're here with Mike. You can find on Twitter at Review and Roast. You can find our Facebook at Review and Roast, or Facebook.com/Review and Roast. You can find our Instagram, Instagram.com/Review and Roast. You can find us pretty much everywhere. Just search Review and Roast. Today we are going to talk to you about Thor Ragnarok, the latest in Marvel's movie
stuff
lineup in the MCU. And yeah, let's get right to it. So,
it's pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Thor lost an eye. That's pretty much it. What do you guys think? You want to give it like a fucking 8, 7?
8.5.
All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Moving on.
Ha! Burn! Okay. Well, I'm trying to think. The last Marvel movie was...
Spider-Man Homecoming.
Was it?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say Guardians 2, but I think you guys are correct.
Guardians was in May. Spider-Man was in July.
Okay, so Guardians, we all liked. Spider-Man was decent enough. And Thor, here we go. Third Thor movie. I feel like the Thor movies, in general, don't get as much...
love?
Love, hype, excitement as any other Marvel movies.
I think the first one did.
I think the first one kind of did. The second one, I feel like people don't even remember it happened.
It was not good.
I liked it. I didn't, like, love it.
The first one was because I think people went into it going, well, whatever, something to do. And they're like, surprisingly, it's actually not bad.
Yeah.
It's decent in a sort of quasi Lord of the Rings type of way. I think because no one really had expectations for the character because it's not really a Marvel character in a way.
Right.
So
it's a fictional adaptation of a Greek god.
Right. So I think people went in kind of going, yeah, whatever, heard it's all right. And they went in like, yeah, it was pretty good. Second one, they actually had expectations and they're like, what?
I don't know. I like the second one. Benny, we're here to talk
about... I haven't seen the second one since we saw it in the theater, so I couldn't tell you fucking anything about it.
Well, let's pause this and go watch it.
No.
Okay. So Thor Ragnarok, anyone who's familiar with Viking mythology, Ragnarok is basically the end of the world, the end of times. So what this movie is more or less about is you find out that, you know, Odin not doing so well. He's getting older. You know, they find out Thor has a sister. Does anyone remember her name off the top of their heads?
Hela,
who is on her way back.
Well, let's not forget the whole premise of the Thor and Odin situation was, if you recall, Loki had taken the place of Odin at the end of the last movie.
Right.
So that was sort of setting the whole thing up. And Odin was... Loki was allowed to play Odin because Thor's been off doing his thing.
Correct.
Like hunting down baddies and stuff of that baddies. Nature. Yep.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Dork.
Well, come on with it.
So yeah, anywho, at the beginning of the movie, you find out that, Thor is, he's on his way back to...
Asgard,
thank you. And when he gets there, he stumbles onto what is now, I guess, the entertainment, which is basically a play where, you know, Thor and Loki and all this, and, you know, there's a statue of Loki, and he saved everybody because of what happened at the end of the second movie, blah, blah, blah. Like Mike's already said, you find out that, you know, Odin is being played by Loki.
And Loki is being played by Matt Damon.
What? Matt Damon. So, oh, God, we should have done Suburbicon. Anywho, yep. Sorry. So he goes back. He finds out that, you know, Odin's really not in charge up here anymore. Where the hell is he? What's going on? So they go back to, you know, him and Loki go back down to Earth. And he's like, well, I left him right here. And it's kind of one of those, like, almost Keystone Capers, like, bullshit between the two brothers, which is always kind of fun because Tom Hiddleston as Loki is awesome. And him and Chris Hemsworth, they can kind of play off each other really well, which is it's neat. But Hela, who is played by Kate Blanchett, starts to become more and more of a figure, I guess, because she was imprisoned and she is now being she's coming out of that prison somehow.
Can I pause you?
Yeah,
because you skipped over like the best part of the whole movie.
Well, I didn't skip over anything. I'm just kind of I'm trying to generalize before we get into what we like.
Well, it wasn't until they find Odin that they figure out about Hela. But finding Odin was done by
Doctor Strange.
Hey, bing, bada, bing, bing, oh, bing, bing.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, Marvel cameo within a cameo in a Marvel universe of all time.
Doctor Strange does appear in this movie, which is something that Marvel always kind of did really well. Is that you know they always integrate. Different characters.
Yeah, they throw like movies. A character in.
And throwing Doctor Strange into this movie was awesome.
And critical.
And it was funny too because, you know, Loki's like, oh, do you think you're some kind of trickster? Wait till you're like, wait, what? What?
Yeah. Oh, is this what passes for wizardry? Yeah, huh?
So, yeah.
And Thor's magically refilling beer.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I've been falling for 30 minutes.
Yeah. And he keeps warping Thor, and then Thor's like, because
he's in the New York quote unquote office or whatever. Yeah. See, as soon as they cut to that scene, I'm like, yes. And then you see the emblem, and I'm like, yes.
Yeah, and it's really like because now obviously Doctor Strange he's embraced his role, I guess, and now he's good at it.
Oh yeah,
like he's got this teleporting shit down.
Yeah.
No, which is actually hilarious.
I totally wasn't going to gloss over that because that was one of my favorite parts of the movie. So they go along the thing here, and then
they get dropped in the enslaved video.
Yep. What?
Hmm? After that, they get dropped in the enslaved video where Hela shows up and
right.
Well, go ahead.
Well, you're already on there. I'm just bringing us back.
Yeah. That's all he's got.
Yeah, I'm done. It's your turn to talk.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
Man, I wish we had, like, a cricket sound effect.
I know, right?
That would roll.
Like, so anywho, I'm trying to get to the point where Thor gets, I guess, kidnapped.
Well, yeah, Thor...
But I know I'm glossing over
Doctor
shit.
Doctor Strange so drops where him, you guys are drops him into in. The, let's just call it...
Norway.
The Norway cornfield, or plains, or whatever you want to call it. He's out there. Odin's just hanging out.
Living out his days.
Taking in the horizon, and basically the two, Loki and Thor, walk up and, you know, Odin goes through the whole, you know, sentimental...
I loved you like a son.
End of my times spiel, and then kind of gives him, hey, P.S., when I'm gone, your sister's coming. You know what I'm saying? And she's kind of a bitch and pretty much the baddest bitch there is. So, deuces. And that's almost, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but that's almost exactly what he said.
Yeah.
It's almost word for word.
Yeah, I mean, it's legit. And
I just got chills.
To be honest, man, I'm not going to lie. And if I know you guys haven't seen Westworld, right?
No.
But,
Anthony Hopkins,
man, he's super good. That's all I have to say about that, really. But every time he's one of those characters, you know, there's a few actors that, like, every time they talk, you want to listen. Because you're like, man, he's going to say something that I'm going to want to hear right now.
I did not feel that way at all during Silence of the Lambs, though.
Yeah, but that's old school.
Right, it's him. And he butchered that movie by sucking horribly.
I mean, not really pertinent, but I get it.
So, anywho, you also come to find out when Thor goes back to Asgard in the beginning, you find out Heimdall is gone. You find out that he was chased out as like an enemy
traitor.
Of the state,
right,
a traitor. Yep. And film his scenes for Luther. But he was replaced by Scourge, who was played by Carl Urban, who is awesome
He's actually pretty good.
Yeah, he's funny. He, you know, he's trying to show off to all the chicks. It's like, check this out. Pow.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny. Anywho, I just wanted to touch on that because Carl Urban was funny in the movie. And he plays a bigger role later on. Mm-hmm. So, plus, you're probably all wondering, where's Heimdall at? I mean, Idris Elba's the shit. I'm like, well, he is. Now, basically what happens is he kind of has a sense of what's going on. And he's taken a lot of the people from Asgard, and they're off in hiding, I guess you could say.
And Loki playing Odin knew that Heimdall would see through his shit.
Right.
So that's why he named him traitor, blah, 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 and all of that baloney. So, I mean, the whole story, I mean, I think, see, me personally, I like this one better than the second one for sure, because there's more, like, they, I think they got it back together as far as like storyline and tying it in with everything else that's going on in the MCU, because the second one was sort of like, I don't want to say standalone-ish, but it was sort of just like some Thor Asgard shit.
Yeah.
That didn't have nothing to do with nothing.
So anywho.
Nothing means nothing.
Right. So Odin passes on to the next life, whatever you want to say. Hela comes down and Thor's like, swings the hammer, throws it there. Yeah. She's like, you know what? Crunch. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Hammer's gone. Oh my God. She's a badass. And
yeah, I mean, and this bitch is just pulling swords and knives out of every orifice.
Right. Like, but the fight didn't last very long.
No.
And it didn't last long because.
Speak to me. Heimdall.
Somebody.
Scourge.
They're getting teleported.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. Why? Oh, were you actually asking?
Yeah, I was asking because it's been almost a week and a half now.
They were basically, Thor was calling out to Heimdall to bring us home. And.
Wait, I thought Loki was the one calling.
Which one of them was?
Because Thor wanted to keep fighting.
Oh yeah, maybe that's true.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, either way, they were going to get the hell out of there.
The Heimdall out of there.
And they thought they had her at bay. No. As they're going, here she comes up behind them. They get in a little bit of a scuffle during the transportation process, I guess, and get knocked out of there.
That's right.
Into... what were they? They were calling them something else, like a gateway or a portal hole or whatever they were calling it.
It doesn't matter.
But they drop in to the Grandmaster's planet.
Right. Now, this is another character I want to talk about because, yes, I'm Thor, Jeff Goldblum.
Thor Ragnarok starring Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
Kind of a big fan. So it was kind of awesome that he was in this movie. Basically, what happens is Thor gets picked up while he's unconscious, I believe,
mm-hmm.
By they don't actually give her name, but she was a Valkyrie for Asgard back in the day when they first put Hela in,
I think,
lockdown.
In the comics they just call her Valkyrie,
and that's what she's listed as on IMDb, but you know, I mean, they were all Valkyrie, they were all mm-hmm. you know, a certain type of warrior specifically from Asgard to keep Hela and put her in her place, kind of deal. So, anyway, she's basically become just a bounty hunter slash scrapper.
I thought that the Valkyrie were just warriors, and Hela actually just destroyed them all.
Yeah, she did. She did.
So they weren't really effective in their alleged.
No. That wasn't their only job, but yeah, they sucked at that part.
They did not succeed. But after all of her comrades.
Well, she's the last one, and that's why they call her Valkyrie. So
right, because you know they were all slain. She didn't want to deal with Asgard anymore, so she left. She basically became a scrapper slash bounty hunter.
And P.S., he doesn't know she's even Asgardian at first.
Right. He does not. But she has collected him up because she knows who he is. And she brings him to the Grandmaster, who is...
Not impressed.
No. He run. Oh, you're the Lord of Thunder?
It's the God of Thunder, actually. Yeah, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. The Lord of... Ooh, sparkles on your fingers. So basically, she brings him to the Grand Master because the Grand Master has an arena where warriors fight, and he basically purchases Thor to just fight in his arena. And Thor's like, this is bullshit. I want out of here. I'm the God of Thunder. He's like, yeah, sure you are, sparkles.
Yeah.
he's like, I'll tell you what. If you beat my champion, you're out of here.
Yeah.
You know?
You can do whatever you want. Bring it on.
So, you know... Anywho, I'm not going to ramble down the entire plot of the entire movie. Let's just break it down right now to, you know, some of the things that we liked about the movie. We've already touched on it. I liked the scenes with Doctor Strange. I thought that was great.
They're all right.
The movie, as the other Thor movies were, they kind of had that like comical feel to it, which. I know they try to do that a lot in some of these Marvel movies, but I feel like they try to... I think I almost feel like that gets overdone in
well, this one movies. Had much more by comparison to, like, the second Thor. Yeah. Wasn't really, you know, all rainbows and,
yeah,
you know, dick and fart jokes and stuff. Yeah. Where the first one had that... It was sort of still in the Inception phase of... I don't want to say the Inception phase of the MCU. But the first Thor movie was early in the whole string of all these movies, to be honest.
Yeah.
So, I think they got back to the whole, all right, we got to lighten this shit up a little bit.
Yeah.
So, and I think they did that pretty good.
Well, you know, as they do with a lot of the Marvel movies, I like the integration with the other characters. I like this movie. I felt like it was written well. The plot was, you know, it played out smoothly. It was a good movie. I mean, I can't really think of too much to ramble on that I haven't already said, so I'll just pass it on to you guys. What did you guys like about this movie?
Cate Blanchett.
She was awesome.
She is terminally gorgeous. And she's almost 50.
She did play Hela, for those if we didn't clarify.
But, like, she is...
She's a good bad guy.
She's great as an actress. Like, she's a phenomenal actress. But she's just... I love her. I want to, like, be around her every minute of my life.
You want to have her babies?
If that was a possibility, I mean, I'd definitely consider it.
I'll just stuff when I've been there.
That's weird. Because really. Then it would also not thematically work for me. But yeah, she is the reason for the season. Second is the Led Zeppelin was used quite well in this movie.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
It's been a while since I've heard Hammer of the Gods, and it's probably the best use of that song.
No, they brought it all into like an old school look and sound. You know, the colors and then all the I mean, they really. It seemed like they were almost going for like a Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack for a second there.
Kind of.
And I was digging it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not
but
not hating.
I go back and forth. Like, there are times where I'm like, man, Led Zeppelin's the best. And then there are other times where I'm like, dude, I don't want to hear fucking another Led Zeppelin song the rest of my life. Generally, that happens when I hear Good Times, Bad Times. I'm like, fuck this band. I suck. But then later on, I hear No Quarter. I'm like, all right, they're still good. And Hammer of the Gods falls into the still good category. So when I heard that, I was like, damn, this is like the best use of this song ever. And yeah, some of the color palette was kind of interesting. Little off key for Marvel movies, which tend to be a little bit more rainbow colored at times. This one was a little weirder. Also the soundtrack, the score by Mark Mothersbaugh was pretty rad. That was totally unexpected because all these movies have these big operatic soundtracks when they're not using like licensed music. This one was really like synth driven and like almost like quirky quasi 80s pop music, and I was like, man, who's wrote this thing? It's almost like Goblin was paid to do this. And then I look, I'm like, oh, Mark Mothersbaugh, that makes sense. Totally didn't see it coming till I saw his name pop up, and I'm like, oh, that's pretty awesome, because he's done a lot of stuff since Devo broke up. Well, that's the thing, like, Devo had like one hit in the early 80s, and then you never really heard much from them. Every now and again they'll do like a hey, we're still doing stuff tour, and then they do it for like 8 months, and then they go away for 10 years. But that guy's done, like, scores up the wazoo for, like, weird sitcoms and stuff. So him scoring a movie was definitely a surprise because they usually go with, like, a Hans Zimmer or a... Who's the guy that does John Williams, the guy that did Star Wars? They always go with these guys with the big, like, the orchestra. Here's a guy just with a fucking Casio keyboard in his kitchen going, like, and they're like, there you go, Thor soundtrack. And they're like, eh, whatever, it worked.
Yeah, I do want to, before I let Mike ramble,
go.
Did you say bramble?
I was gonna.
Sometimes I bramble on.
Not for nothing. The like action / fight scenes I thought were awesome in this movie.
Can I throw one more on the fire?
Between the fight scenes, including the fight scenes that are played along with Led Zeppelin, just super fun, super get you pumped.
So, honestly, the fight scenes were like meh. They were neither good nor bad. But the guy who was like the...
Just saying how awesome they are.
Korg?
For me. Korg, the guy who's like the big bad, who's kind of like the butt of the joke at the beginning of the movie, he reminds me of the Beast from Infamous 2, so that made me like him a lot.
Korg.
Yeah, that's what I said. He reminds me of the Beast.
Right, but which one is Korg?
I'm talking about the rock guy. Are you talking about the rock guy?
Oh, no, I'm talking about like the big dude with the Danzig helmet. Or when Loki steals the Danzig helmet at the end, he goes, hope this works. And then all of a sudden, the dude comes rising out of the fucking... He reminds me...
Was that guy's name Korg?
No, Korg is the rock guy.
Because
Korg is the rock guy, okay.
Now that I'm looking at the guy who did the voice for Korg, like, that's not who I thought. Because I thought I'd recognize the guy.
Well, we'll get to that. But, no, the guy at the end, the big bad who finally defeats Hela... Reminds me of the Beast from Infamous 2, and I love awesome. The first two Infamous games. Those are like the last two video games I truly like loved. That's why the third one was such a bummer for me, because it's such a piece of shit. The first two were great, though, and the Beast was amazing.
All right, so what did you like about it, Mike?
I didn't like it at all. It sucked.
All right, so moving on to what we didn't like. Mike's going to ramble.
No. Oh, I didn't like a lot of stuff. Let me go. You're no, gonna... What we really didn't get on to is, since I just brought the Hulk up, the Hulk is like the literally the Hulk and Bruce Banner are a humongous part of this movie as
they
well.
They are.
And again, in comics, they actually do team up quite oftenly.
Yeah.
If that's even a word, but Mark Ruffalo's man killing it. I don't care what you say.
I didn't say he wasn't.
The best scene is at the very end.
This is what he does
when he's
like?
Talking shit to Valkyrie. He's like, yeah, check this shit out. He jumps out of the plane and just lands on the bridge.
Oh, I forgot about that. That was
and awesome. Yeah, but don't forget, the big devil dog was like running down the bridge. He's like, huh? And he just like steps over. I'm like, ugh. Like, that's gross.
It would have been great if the dog would have went.
Dead like, human? Yeah.
If the dog would have went.
Scraped him off the bottom of his paw.
Yeah.
It would have been awesome if the dog would have went and just a little, yeah. Just like a half lip.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was actually
just the tip of the.
It was just funny because like the whole time, like Hulk and Valkyrie were kind of like chummy, and then when he was down to Bruce Banner size, she's like, you know, like who's this dude? And he's like, oh, that's like my guy, and you know, Bruce was kind of like making some comments like, you know, like FYI, I'm kind of a big deal. Like when I get my shit going here, she's like, yeah, whatever. Like go do some math problems.
Right.
And then finally, like dog comes out. It's like Hela's dog that she raises from the dead, or whatever.
So nonchalant.
Bruce is like, I got this shit. You know what I'm saying? She's like, no. Like I'm gonna do. He's like, nah. Check this
out. What I do?
Literally, dude. He like jumps out of the spaceship and just. Falls flat and breaks his neck on the bridge. It's actually hilarious.
Does anyone remember the Rudy Ray Moore movie, The Human Tornado?
Mm-mm.
Scott?
Vaguely.
The very beginning where he's like plowing the sheriff's wife and then the sheriff comes in and he gets all super racist. So Rudy Ray Moore gets all dressed, sort of, like more or less just grabs his pimp suit and runs out the house. And then it cuts to the scene at the top of the hill and he dives butt naked. Off this hill, they freeze, and he goes, oh, you don't believe this? Check out this good shit! And they rewind it, and he jumps, and then when he barrel rolls at the bottom of the hill, which is 30 feet high, he's fully dressed. His dick is literally fucking swinging in the wind when he jumps off the fucking hill, but when he lands, fucking hat is on, fucking pimp suit, and he's rolling into the Cadillac. That was, like, the closest that the Marvel movies have come to going into Dolomite territory, which was kind of awesome, except for Rudy Ray Moore landed that shit like a boss and fucking Hulk fucking flubbed it like a me.
So yeah, I like that part.
I do too.
I would have liked it better if Rudy Ray Moore was the Hulk, but whatever.
All right, and I guess now we can go into...
You know what though? Hold on. I need to talk more about Jeff Goldblum being awesome.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Before we start hating on it. Because Jeff Goldblum, Jeff Goldblum was like legit Jeff Goldblum in full Goldblum fashion.
I didn't like the fucking flip flops though.
How did you not? That I mean, that's what he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be like one of the elders, like the collector, and they're supposed to be so like blasé about being awesome. Like that's the whole point of those immortals or whatever is that they're actually like dude, I've been doing this shit for like. A million years, so it's not a big deal. I kind of just like having fun with you little ants. You know what I mean? And like the fucking melty stick. Remember when like Loki interrupted?
Oh, yeah.
He's like, don't interrupt me. And then she like hands him the melty stick and he's like, whoa. God, just interrupted me. It wasn't like a capital offense and I don't need the melty stick. You know what I'm saying, dude? I don't know. I thought it was hilarious and because when they went to that place, Loki had obviously immediately befriended him and was like just hanging out in the Grandmaster's court like...
Yeah, he had been there. He had been there for a while.
Well, because the time they popped out, he was already there like a week and a half or 2 weeks or some shit. Yeah. He was kind of saying, but yeah, it was kind of like you know he's just hanging out, and he's actually there in the audience watching while Thor comes out and does the whole big Hulk fight scene, which has actually got a lot of comedy in it as well. Mostly because of the fact that. Thor's actually like super duper happy about it. Like, oh my God, like this is my guy from work.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So they go at it and Hulk gives him the old Asgardian fucking beat down, like the whip him back and side to side and shit. And fucking Loki freaks out. Cause he's like, oh my God. Yeah. Like, yeah. Now you know what it feels like, prick. You know what I mean? I don't know. It was just, there's a lot of funny parts to it. And all the while Jeff Goldblum's like, I don't know what's even going on here. I'm just trying to get some people to kill each other here.
Right.
So it was actually, I don't know, I thought it was pretty funny. But the Hulk actually makes a lot of pretty good scenes even better. And it was full, wasn't full Banner Hulk. It was just full Hulk, which is a thing. So it's just all Hulk, but he can actually like talk a little bit more than normal. You know what I mean?
He's actually a thing?
Yeah, it is a thing.
Really? Yeah. I don't read Hulk comics.
No, I'm not a Hulk aficionado, but yeah, that is an actual thing. There's every version of the Hulk there is. I mean, there really just is at this point in time. They've had to do everything with him by now. You know what I mean? So there's one where the Hulk is the Hulk, but he's full on. He's Bruce Banner is actually controlling the Hulk, so he's as smart as Bruce and all of that good stuff. There's this Hulk that they show here where he's sort of Bruce Banner is like, call it the subconscious instead of like the other way around. So it was kind of cool to see it that way. Although they didn't really go into detail into why he was that normally, there's a little more story to it, you know, and then all of a sudden he just gets knocked back to his shit and then he becomes him again. And then, you know, so it's kind of, they sort of glossed over that part, which I wasn't super happy about, but it's not Thor and the Hulk movie. It's Thor movie. So I get it.
Mark Ruffalo is really good though.
Oh,
he is.
Oh, and don't forget, he was walking around in like Tony. They're like, oh yeah, like where are these? They're Tony's clothes. And he's like, itching his crotch all the time. He's like, man, why is he wearing these pants so tight? God. He's like standing there like pulling at his crotch.
Yeah.
I forgot a couple of those scenes that are actually pretty funny. I really do want to go see it again. I don't care.
No, I agree.
I think it was funny.
I'll always go to see most movies again, except for
Suburbicon.
Yep. So anywho, now we're going to nitpick. And actually, the funny thing, because you're just like raving about how awesome all the Hulk stuff was, that's where I'm going to go nitpicking, because I felt he talked way too much when he was a Hulk.
Right,
I feel like that's not a thing.
It is a thing.
It is, but most people don't know that. And for me, I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, but
like he was carrying on conversations. He was living in a fucking penthouse.
He does that.
I have not seen this.
Well, that's because you don't know shit.
Well, the previous movies, the guy didn't say shit.
Right, because it was a different
outside of the word Hulk smash. Type.
This is the Hulk that's been the continual Hulk now. So it's a different thing.
They did say that since he's been on this garbage planet, he's never not been the Hulk. He's
always
the Hulk at all times, because his rage levels have peaked to the point where it's kind of like the wire snapped and now there's no going back.
Right.
I get it.
And it's and again, I'm not claiming to be a Hulk expert by any means. But like most Marvel comics, there's shit tons of crossover.
All right. Well, here's... Glad you brought that up, because I know I mentioned that's one of the things I liked about this movie is, you know, they do really the crossover stuff really well. That's also my complaint with this movie. This was the first movie you're talking about a god who traverses the entire universe. Why would you not have him run into the Guardians?
That's planned for the Infinity War.
Well, I know they're all going to be
and
together.
Who are you talking about exactly?
Well, I guess I'll just partner this up with my what I would have done differently. And what I didn't like was the Grandmaster's champion, I feel, should have been Rocket. I think that would have been perfect.
That would have been terrible.
No.
That would have been really terrible.
No.
Well, Groot would have been better.
No, because Groot in the universe is still baby Groot. But Rocket is the crazy...
Maybe
in the comics. I mean, I've got them all stacked right here. Rocket is... I feel like he
the worst?
No, he's awesome. But I feel like that would have made it for a better interaction, because not only does Thor not know who he is yet, but you know they could have worked that in there somehow. Like, you're looking for the Infinity Stone. I was looking for the Infinity Stone.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna lie. I'm pretty sure like Thor would crush him.
That's quite possible, but normal people would not, because of his proclivity to violence and bombs.
But I feel like you would need the only. Real,
but Thor also can't fly without his hammer, so Rocket could just zip out of there with one of his gadgets.
He actually can fly without his hammer.
Maybe he could fly with a ham.
That's a misnomer.
Bottom line is, I would have made the champion Rocket. That way, you bring the Guardians into these other movies, because they're the only ones that haven't had any kind of crossover.
Yeah, but they're gonna.
Maybe they can have.
And this was a prime. This was a perfect like time to do it, because you're all over the galaxy. That looked like a planet that you would have found, you know, Mary Poppins on.
Well, there's a high probability that they're obviously coming in the next movie. So I mean, the next movie's Black Panther, but
or at least put him in the background of this movie. They should have been in this movie.
I honestly, at the in the extra scene when they're all on the spaceship and they run into the other ship, I thought it was going to be the Milano.
Yeah.
To be honest. So, I don't know what that spaceship was, some kind of Kree warship, probably. Who gives a fuck?
Doesn't matter. Bottom line is, the Guardians should have been in this, and I think it would have been kind of entertaining to have Rocket as the champion.
Yeah. I don't agree with the Rocket thing, but I do agree that the Guardians should have, or some way, shape, or form, had something to do with this one, for sure.
Yeah.
I do agree with that. I was actually hoping, even if it was just, you know, fucking a handful of Ravagers on the fucking watching the fights or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I would have been, yeah, they could have had something, I agree with that, to sort of, but you're already, to be honest, the movie, in my opinion, was about as busy as you can make it without driving me fucking crazy.
Well, that's why I was
like,
saying.
It was right at that point where you're like, all right, I got all of this shit going on, this is super awesome, but it's like this far away from being fucking annoying. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was so much going on.
The only way to fix that then is to do the Star Wars crossover.
Well, that's why I was saying, you know, it wouldn't be so busy if you replace Hulk with Rocket.
Yeah, but then
you can bring in Peter Quill and them later.
But Hulk and Thor is a huge comic book thing, though.
It is. You know what I mean? You know, they were all, I don't know, I feel like they've already had a little bit of screen time.
Yeah, but again, first of all,
here's the problem, or the thing with the Hulk, because of the legalities surrounding the rights issues that they've run into with the Hulk, they can't put him in a solo movie for whatever those legalities are at the moment, so they have to cram him in where they can, and they really wanted to do a Planet Hulk movie, and this was really the only way to do it.
It's the closest thing you're going to get to that.
They've been talking about this for like 3 years, that basically...
No, I get it.
There's no way for Marvel to... Because Marvel sold off so many of their properties, which is why they'll never ever get the X-Men back, because Fox is going to put on a new X-Men thing every 6 months for the rest of time,
mm-hmm.
no matter what happens. As we found out with the New Mutants trailer at the beginning of Thor here. I don't know if you saw it.
Mm-hmm. I did.
I'm confused as to whether I like it or I think it's the stupidest looking thing ever.
I'm exactly the same.
Like, I'm like kind of excited because I like the worst X-Men movies, but at the same time, I'm like...
No, I was also semi into it and semi not, so...
I mean, the guy from Stranger Things is in it, which is kind of okay.
Yeah, the kid.
I don't know. We'll see. I need to see more to decide.
All right, so what else do you hate besides the Hulk?
No, I didn't hate. I just...
Mm-hmm.
Korg.
You hated him?
The
Rock guy?
No, I didn't hate him. But the whole movie, I'm going, dude, I can't believe Rhys Darby's in the Marvel Universe.
Oh.
So I get to the end credits. I'm like, where's Rhys Darby? And I go on fucking IMDb. I'm like, no, he's not in this movie. I'm like, well, that fucking sucks.
Cause sounded just like him.
Doesn't it?
That's why I was like, I'm so stoked that Murray Hewitt is in the movie. Yes, he's still alive. He's still a thing. Well, no, he's not. Yeah. Plus, I was thinking Marvel Flight of the Conchords crossover. No, that ain't going to happen.
No, that's not going to happen either. No, but actually, that Korg was actually had some of the better lines in the movie, too, none of which I can actually think of right now, except for the paper, rock, scissors joke.
But, right.
Yeah. I mean, don't be scared, unless you're scissors.
I literally can't think of one, but let me break one out. What?
I do want more of that guy. I just wish Rhys Darby was the voice.
Yeah.
So I thought it was until I looked it up.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was more South African sounding to me.
It would have been so great if he just out of nowhere busted out. What are you headed to, a dick meeting?
Yeah,
like I'd be like, yes, nailed it. I don't know. Other than that, like my only like major issue is it still has the same Marvel 3-act formula that's starting to get super predictable. Which is basically the first act, they do some stuff, and then they reveal who the villain is. And the second act, the villain builds up their power and gets all like, ooh, look at me, I'm about to take over the world. And all in the third act, it's the big 30-minute fight to, hey, guess who's not taking over the world? The bad guy. Woo.
I mean, that's pretty much...
Who saw that
not
coming?
Not just Marvel's...
Nailed it.
...like, format.
No, you're right. I mean...
Me and Scott just saw a movie that didn't have that format at all, and it fucking sucked.
Yup.
Well, okay, just... I mean, I know I'm going into this territory.
Oddly enough, the guy who did that voice, he was born in New Zealand.
Oh, really?
The director. But, like, just to
Taika Waititi?
Yes. To tread into that territory for a moment, like, The Dark Knight is the perfect example of how to make the movie where it's kind of an ambiguous end. Whereas the Joker, did he die at the end? I don't know. Probably, maybe. Who knows? Don't really know. Does Batman go away? Of course. Where does he go? I don't know. 8 years in exile. What happened to Harvey Dent? Presumably dead. I don't know. Everything's kind of like up in the air. It's closed in a nice package to where it's a definitive film, but it's at the same time.
It, I mean, they literally a lot of fucking questions. Blew up Asgard.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, they, I mean, it wasn't displaced like, an entire yeah, they, planet.
Yeah, but they also pretty much got everybody out.
Pretty much, and everybody are two different fucking things, though. I mean,
I just want to see
many died.
I'd well, like, let's put it this way: one of those two are gonna live through that fight.
Okay.
Good call.
Let's think about in terms
Scourge
of
Scourge didn't.
I'd soon. Like to see
spoilers.
Okay, like the Star Wars movies. We know now that the first three Star Wars movies end the way they end with the Return of the Jedi, but when The Empire Strikes Back ended and there was no internet and there was no message boards and Leia sees Han get encased in carbonite, what if there was never a sequel? I know. What if there was never a sequel?
Well, let me pause you there, because those three movies are the 3X you described in Thor, though.
Yeah, but they're broken into three movies, though, instead of one movie.
So is the fucking Lord of the Rings, and they suck.
No, they don't. Aww. They totally don't. Or The Hobbit, when they let Smaug out of the cave at the end.
I don't know if you just heard my last statement, but that one's not going to also...
Scott?
Refute me.
What?
You're going to let him down the J.R.R. Tolkien cinemaverse here?
He's been doing it since day one. I'm
yeah, and right. I believe it's
actually
be
he did like the movies when he saw them, and all of a sudden he just...
No, that's not actually that
he
true.
Saw Clerks 2, and he's like, that guy's funny. Those movies suck.
That is not true at all. I hated the movies way before Clerks 2. I just thought the way they did it in Clerks 2 was fucking hilarious.
It was.
Even the fucking trees walked in that movie.
Yeah. Trees walk in Guardian of the Galaxy. Nailed it.
Yeah, but that tree's awesome.
That tree was stolen from Lord of the Rings.
That's actually true. So, anywho, no, I mean, I get it, but I don't think you're going to really do that many superhero movies that great, and whatever. Everybody always goes to The Dark Knight, so.
Because it's that, the quintessential all, comic it, book film.
It's not even a little. But
it actually is.
Not the point. The point is that...
Closest second would be Winter Soldier.
It's the only one that... everyone can go to, and it's hard for anybody to fight it because everybody loves Heath Ledger's Joker so much, so you can't really say anything about the fucking movie or you're an asshole. Even though that ain't the Joker, but go ahead and let's move on.
Sure it is.
How?
How's it not?
How is it is?
What is the Joker then? Jared Leto?
Jared Leto's closer.
No.
Fact.
No.
Fact.
Read Brian Azzarello's Joker and tell me that Heath Ledger wasn't modeled after that. Or, rather, that Joker was not modeled after Heath Ledger.
If you say so.
True story.
Okay. And if it was modeled after Heath Ledger, my point remains.
Well, so we can do you could argue stamps. That the Heath Ledger Joker was modeled after Frank Miller's from The Dark Knight Returns, so nailed it.
You could.
Either way, we're here to talk about Thor, ladies and gentlemen, yep. For those of you who didn't forget. So
Thor.
Let's stay on,
it was all right.
Stay on track.
I'm done. 9.
I'm done, too.
Really?
Pretty much. Like, I don't... What else do you want to talk about?
There wasn't nothing I really hated about it. Nothing. It was one of the first Marvel movies that actually had most of the stuff I needed to see. And didn't... I didn't have too high expectation, but I didn't have too low, and it was actually pretty good. And I feel like they're just nailing it with the casting lately, and the small additions like Jeff Goldblum and shit like that are just right on point. Hopefully, he gets a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm a little lower. I'm at an 8.5.
That's good.
I'm actually at a 7.5. Honestly, part of it is, like I said, they're all so formulaic. None of the villains, like, transfer from film to film, so it's kind of like, this guy's going to be gone at the end of this movie, so that's going to suck.
I mean, Loki's been a villain for, like, 14 films.
He's
been a frenemy.
Outside of the Winter Soldier, who really is, in my opinion, the best villain Marvel has.
So wait, in the cinematic you're saying universe. The Winter Soldier is more of a villain than Loki is?
Loki kind of traverses between both. He's a villain, and he's not, and he kind of is, and he sort of is.
A quintessential villain more than the Winter Soldier. Straight up, the Winter Soldier right now is a fucking hero.
Oh, now he
has been for a movie and a half.
Now
Loki has never been for more than 15 minutes in a row. Anybody? Nobody?
Well,
he's always been out for himself.
That's what I'm saying. Where the Winter Soldier is actually not even a villain.
Not now.
I mean,
but he was
for half a movie. Dude.
It's the best Marvel movie there is. True story. Nailed it.
Opinions are opinions for a reason.
Either way, there you go. That's Thor Ragnarok. One of these days I'll be able to get these two to speak close enough and good enough into their
minds. What are you talking about? I'm always right up on this thing.
Looking at this thing, though, you guys ain't. So
I'm literally haven't even moved my head in 15 minutes.
I'm the only one that listens back to these, and my levels always sound
pretty. Yeah, because I fix them in post. Anywho.
Snap. Weird, considering the fact that they're all on one track.
Hashtag snap.
That doesn't mean anything. I see where it's low, it comes up. I see where it's high, it comes down. Anywho, that was Thor Ragnarok, and I am Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XSourceNX. Brian, you can find at Pure Rock Fury, and Mike, you can find at Review and Roast. Hit up our Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast and listen to all of our other shows at comicroast.com. That is going to be it for today, so have a good week.
Yay.